Welcome to our sermon podcast here at City of Light Anglican Church. We are a new church in Aurora, Illinois, finding a new day in Jesus. We want to see the light of Jesus rise and shine in our hearts, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods. Thanks for joining us for today's message.
You can have a seat. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 24, that passage we just read? If you don't have your Bible with you, there's Bibles on the seats throughout the room. If you're using one of those Bibles, it's page 103. And when you read, when we read this passage a couple minutes ago, maybe you thought, like I did when I first read it, what is going on here? There's 12 pillars, there's an altar, they're killing oxen, they're splashing the blood here and there, they're going up a mountain, there's a floor made out of some blue gem. Like, this is a little bizarre, right? What's happening here is that an agreement is being made, but it's being made in a culture very different than many of our cultures, and it's being made a few thousand years ago. And so there's a translation that needs to happen between the customs or the rituals or the practices that are going on in Exodus 24 and maybe what we're used to. So I went online and I looked up a few different ways that business agreements and meetings happen in cultures around the world today. And I found some really interesting things. Like, for instance, different cultures have different ways of keeping time. And so depending on what culture you're in, you should arrive early for a meeting. Like in Australia, you should be there at least 10 minutes early. But if you're in Romania, I checked that with Raluca earlier today. She's like, no, you don't have to be there till at least 15 minutes after the meeting starts. Same with Spain. But then I read, and I didn't get a chance to fact check all of these, but I read in Russia that the guest has to be there on time or early, but whoever's hosting the meeting purposefully arrives late. So that was interesting too. In France, if you're doing a business meeting over lunch, it's gonna take at least a couple hours. But if you're doing a business meeting in Mexico over lunch, it's probably not gonna start until 2:30 because their workday starts a little later and then goes a little later. In Brazil, be prepared to stand very close to other people when you talk to them. And don't back away, because that would be a sign that you don't want to engage with them. And then in the United Kingdom, if someone taps their nose while they're talking, it means that what they're about to say is very confidential. Don't repeat it. Has anyone ever heard that before? That was brand new to me. Yeah. So I think I'm definitely going to start using that one. That one was interesting. But don't tell anyone that. So in Exodus 24, there's an agreement being made. They read the terms and conditions. And unlike when we download an app or a piece of software and we just click accept, 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 and go through all the screens, like, they're actually reading them. So Moses comes down from the mountain. He tells the people everything that the Lord told them about this invitation into an agreement with him. And look what they say there in verse 3. You see that with me? Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, and they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." They've accepted an agreement from the Lord. And then Moses goes and he writes down all of that, everything that the Lord said. And that's actually what the three chapters before this are. Exodus 20, 21, 22, 23, four chapters are an account of what God told Moses, the sort of user agreement between God and the people of Israel. When the people of Israel first get to the mountain in Exodus 19, the mountain where God is, they say a similar thing. I think it's verse 8 of 19. They say, "We will do everything the Lord has said." And the Lord gives them the agreement. And again, in chapter 4, 24, they say, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." And then they actually say it a third time. Third time's a charm, right? But they say it a third time. We commit. We're entering into this agreement with the Lord. But it's more than just a business deal. What the people of God here are entering into with the Lord, with Yahweh, is more than a work relationship. It's actually more like a marriage relationship. Not just a business deal. It's deeply personal. It's deeply intimate and loving. So I looked up what some different marriage rituals around the world are. These are even more exciting. In India, sometimes the bridesmaids steal the groom's shoes, and then they like hold them for ransom. You have to pay, the groom has to pay to get his shoes back. In Romania, they kind of up the ante on that a little bit. They don't steal the groom's shoes, they steal the bride. And they go to a different restaurant, and then the groom has to find them and then pay to get her back. That would be so annoying. But it's part of a wedding celebration in Romania. In Canada, the wedding party does a dance in brightly colored socks. Heather, I don't know if Andrew's ever taken part in a dance with brightly colored socks. But then the wedding guests throw money at them, and the couple gets to keep it. There's actually a lot of rituals from different cultures where money gets thrown at people during wedding festivities. So in Cuba, guests dance with the bride, and they give money for the honeymoon. And in Nigeria, guests might just throw money at the bride and groom while they're dancing together. But in the West African country of Niger, it's not the wedding party that dances. It's not the bride and groom that dances. There's actually a camel that comes and dances. I know. Like, I want to go to that wedding. In Turkey, John, I didn't get a chance to ask you about this, but I guess you're supposed to plant the Turkish flag at the groom's house in the morning. Did you ever see that happen? No? Well, maybe bride.com is not quite accurate. And then the last one, Joe Marty, I didn't ask you about this one, but have you ever seen in Venezuela the newlyweds sneak away at the wedding reception? It says sometimes the bride and groom sneak out of the wedding, and that's good luck if they can get away before anyone notices. Yeah, that happens. I kind of like that one. But then if you catch them sneaking away, then it's good luck for you if you caught them. So good luck all around. This isn't just a work relationship between God and his people. It's a wedding relationship. It's deeply personal. It's joyful. It's loving. They don't just sign a contract, but they then have a ceremony with altars and oxen and sacrifices. And then they have a reception where they go up on the mountain and they eat and drink with God. And all of these things, the covenant, the ceremony, and the celebration, they're all telling us the same message. That God is a God of relationships. That he's a covenant-making God. That he's a God who makes a way to enter into that covenant through a ceremony. And he's a God who does it all so he can celebrate with us, so he can be with us and we can see him and he can see us. That God is a God who invites us into relationship with him. So let's look first at the covenant. A covenant, like they're entering into here, it's not an obligation. It's not something that they feel like they have to do. It's something that both parties, both God and the people of Israel, want to enter into. Without coercion, without manipulation, not under false pretenses, God invites Israel into a covenant with him because he wants to. And throughout the history of Israel, God is always inviting people into relationship with him. Adam and Eve, he creates them for relationship with him. Abraham and Sarah, he invites them into a covenant with him. The people of Israel here at Mount Sinai, God invites into a covenant. Later, King David, God invites the nation into a covenant. Over and over again, God is inviting people into relationship with him. And that's the meaning of some of these obscure cross-cultural, cross-history actions, is that God longs to be in relationship with you and with me. He loves to love you. And if you've never been in relationship with God, if you've never received his invitation into relationship with him or followed his ways, this very morning, this very moment, he invites you into relationship with him. And if you have been away from the Lord, if there's a time in your life where you felt like you had received that invitation from the Lord, you had given your life to him, you were following him, but it's been a while, this very morning, this very moment, God would love for you to re-enter into a relationship with him. Because he is a God of relationship. And maybe you've been overwhelmed, you've been struggling, you've been suffering, you've been questioning and doubting. God is still a God who longs to be in relationship with you and who invites you to be with him this very morning, this very moment. The story of the Bible is a story that God made you to know him and to be in a relationship with him. And God won't let anything get in the way of inviting you into that relationship with him. God is a God who makes a way. And that's what the second part is, the ceremony. A ceremony is how you get into something. You can't get married without a ceremony. It's the way in. And God always makes a way in. Look at verse 4. Moses goes and he writes everything down, and then he gets up early the next morning and he builds an altar. An altar is just a table like this one here. It represents the presence of God. And then they set up 12 stone pillars that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, or the people. So now there's just a physical representation of who's entering into this relationship. And they make a sacrifice. And it's all part of this formalized ceremony with the vows between God and his people. And it says they have a burnt offering. And a burnt offering symbolizes that we're not holding anything back from God. In that culture, it meant that everything we have belongs to the Lord. And so it's a giving of ourselves to God after he had given himself to delivering the people of Israel. And then the next thing it says is the young bulls were sacrificed as fellowship offerings. Fellowship's just kind of an old word that means relationship, communion together. It's a peace offering. We still use that phrase, don't we? We'll do something tangible or give something tangible to make peace between two parties or a relationship that had been broken or been estranged. And so they make a peace offering to show that things are okay between God and their people. But then something really unexpected happens that's not part of the custom or the tradition of the day. After the people make their vow again for the third time, Moses takes the blood of the sacrifice and he sprinkles it on the people. Now, we don't typically go around and expect our faith leaders to sprinkle blood over people. Like, that's pretty outside of our experience. What's happening there? It represents a cleansing. It represents forgiveness from the Lord to the people. That they have sinned, that they have been unfaithful, that they have not been following God's ways, but now God, through a sacrifice, through the blood sprinkled on them, is forgiving them. He's making a way for them to enter into relationship with him. If we think about a business meeting metaphor, we could say that Israel and people and all of us have been in breach of contract with the Lord. We have not followed the ways of our Creator and our Maker. And in not following God, we have hurt one another and we have hurt each other. We've all sinned and fallen short in our relationships. It doesn't take us all very long to think about relationships where we've fallen short, does it? You know, as a pastor, I'm in relationship with a lot of people, and I sometimes help people with their relationships with others, and I try to help and I try to love other people, but I still do things that can be hurtful to other people emotionally. Sometimes unintentionally, sometimes out of my own selfishness, sometimes out of neglect or ignorance. Sometimes I do something with the best of intentions and even with a sacrificial desire to love other people, and I still accidentally hurt them. I've fallen short in my relationships with others. Haven't you too? Haven't we all? And so God makes a way for us to be in relationship with Him despite our sin, despite the ways we've hurt each other and Him. He makes a way. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to be that sacrifice, so that through His death, through His resurrection, through His blood shed for us, we might receive the forgiveness of sins, that no one would perish, but that all would have eternal life, that we would be cleansed and invited back into relationship with God. God made a way through Jesus. God would say to the prophet Jeremiah, before Jesus came, He'd say, there's a day coming when I'm going to make a new covenant. Not like the old covenant I made with the people in Exodus on Mount Sinai. Not like that one. A new one where their sins are forgiven forever. Not just a symbol of that forgiveness from blood that was splashed on an altar, from the blood of an oxen. Not a symbolic cleansing, but a real cleansing, the power for forgiveness, the power for healing. We were made for deep covenant relationship with God, and so God makes a way to invite us in through Jesus. The New Testament says that Jesus becomes the one who makes a new covenant, a new relationship with God, through His sprinkled blood over us. And later it says, let's draw near to God. Let's receive His invitation to us with our hearts sprinkled clean from our evil conscience. With pure water we have been washed, because the one who's promised, the one who's made a covenant with us, He's been faithful, even when we haven't been. See, this is more than a business agreement that we've been in breach of contract of. This is a marriage relationship. And we're the cheaters. We're the unfaithful ones. But when God makes a promise, it's not dependent on you or me or our faithfulness. It's dependent on His faithfulness. Because He's a God of relationship, and He will always make a way. And through Jesus, He has made a way for us to come back into a new relationship with us. And so on the night before Jesus dies, on the night before He sacrifices His own life, He quotes Exodus 24. He quotes the passage that we just read with a couple changes. Look where Moses says in verse 8, He takes the blood of the sacrifice that will make a way for them to be cleansed and come into relationship with God, and He sprinkles it on the people, and He says, this is the blood of the covenant. And Jesus, on the night before He is handed over to suffering and death, before He becomes the sacrifice that forgives our sins, He takes a cup of wine, and He says, this is My blood. This is My blood, not oxen, not symbol. This is My blood of the what? Of the new covenant. And He makes a way to find a new day in Jesus, a new relationship with the Lord, not dependent on us, but dependent on Him. He makes the way. Through His very own blood. God is a God of covenant. he makes a way through a ceremony, through Jesus' death and resurrection, so that there can be a celebration. God invites us into relationship. He loves to love us. And what happens when we receive that invitation? Well, God throws a party because he's so glad. He's so glad to have us back in relationship with him. It's a celebration. It's a wedding reception. Verse 10, and they saw God, and they ate, and they drank. The covenant relationship with God is consummated with a feast, with a party. We talked a couple weeks ago about how at the end of all things, when Jesus returns and sets everything right and he heals us and he heals the world and heaven comes down to earth, that there will be a great marriage feast of the Lamb with us. And we will eat and drink and see God face to face. And we do that each week. We celebrate that when we come to the communion table. We celebrate that God has made a way for us to be in relationship with him. And so we say, celebremos la fiesta. Let's eat. Let's drink with the Lord. Therefore, let us keep the feast. We eat in remembrance that Christ died for you and for me, and we've been washed clean through his sacrifice and invited into a relationship with Jesus. The covenant, the ceremony, the celebration, they all point to this deepest reality of the universe, that God loves you and God loves me, and he loves to love us. And he invites us into relationship with him in every moment, every morning. He invites us again to be in relationship with him. And on behalf of Jesus, I want to invite you into relationship with the Lord this morning. At Mount Sinai, the Lord invites the people of Israel into relationship. It's at the same time so personal. It's you, it's me, it's every person who can receive the invitation of Jesus or not. Have you received the invitation of Jesus? But when we receive that invitation, we are brought into a people, into a community, into a family. And we live in relationship with God together. Have you ever been at a wedding and there's a group of people out on the dance floor and they're dancing and they're having a great time and it seems like they all know each other? Some of them are really great dancers. Some of them are definitely not. But they're all having fun. And you kind of have to ask yourself, like, do I want to try to go join them and jump in there with them? I feel like I'm on the outside. If you're part of the people of God, God invites you right in, right into the middle of the feast, right into the middle of the dance floor, right into the middle of the party, where you can be a part of something bigger than yourself, where you can receive encouragement and love and care from other people, where you can give encouragement and love and care to other people. I just want to invite you to take a step deeper into the people of God, into the covenant people of God, the people who have relationship with one another because we have relationship with the Lord. We're kicking off our fall ministry today. There are many ways that you can step deeper into the life of the church. I want to invite you to do that so you can live as the people of God. At City of Light, we sometimes call that finding a new home in the church, part of a family, a church family where many peoples are becoming one church family, finding a new day in Jesus. Maybe you've never received that personal invitation of the Lord to you. You can respond this morning like the people of Israel did. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. you can receive the invitation of Jesus into relationship with him for the first time, back into relationship with him after a time away, into relationship with him in the midst of struggles, suffering, and doubt. You can receive that invitation from the Lord who longs to love you. Would you pray with me? If you've felt the Lord stirring your heart, if you've felt something from this Bible passage and teaching, stir your heart, stir your emotions, stir your mind. That's the Lord. That's him inviting you. And I want to give you a chance to respond to that invitation. Maybe he's inviting you to live more deeply your life as part of the covenant people of God. Invest in relationships with one another here on Sundays, throughout the week, in other places. And you can say, Lord, everything you have said, we will do. You can just respond to the Lord, Lord, I want to see my identity and my life in relationship with you as something we all do together. Maybe you need to receive the more personal part of this invitation from Jesus, that he longs to be in relationship with you. And you want to receive that for the first time, you can just say a prayer like this. Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I know I've fallen short in relationships with others and with you. I've hurt and I've been hurt. But I believe, Jesus, that your death on the cross and your resurrection brings me forgiveness. And I receive that forgiveness. And I want to receive your invitation into a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to follow you and obey you. I want to give my life wholly to you and hold nothing back. Thank you, Lord. And maybe there's just a way that you need to return to the Lord this morning. And you prayed that prayer to return to him or to stay with him during a hard season. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and minister your love, that we would all know in our hearts and minds and strength that you love us, that you always invite us into relationship with you, you make a way, and that we come today to your table in celebration of your goodness and your love and your covenant-keeping character. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from City of Light Anglican Church. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us online at cityoflightanglican.org. And now, may the light of Jesus scatter the darkness from before your path.